The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows.
Move.
Call Steve Move. Now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, welcome back. Hope you're doing well. And so, as we've spun things up in the last 2 years, right? Just crazy environment that we're in. And it sure seems like the end times clock, the eschatological clock, if you want to go on all theological on me or a neighbor or a friend. End times theology and what's going on. Things are moving. It seems like things have sped up, have they not? And even though I don't believe the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast, it certainly appears to be a pretty good dry run. So a lot of people talking about the craziness going on, but most pastors and most Christians, as a matter of fact, in the Western civilization sit there and go, but, you know, Jesus is coming back. The tribulation's coming. And some of us kind of lean into that because we know there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be in a whole lot of trouble during the tribulation. And do you delight in that a little bit? But not you, because you're out of here, right? That's probably what your pastor has taught you. That's probably what you've heard. That's probably what you hear on the radio most of the time. Some of the most popular biblical teachers and pastors in America for a while now have talked about. But don't worry about the tribulation, because God's going to come back. Jesus is going to rapture his church. We're going to be out of here. So you're not going to have to deal with any of that mess. But why do you believe that, by the way? Is that just because your pastor said so? This starts to sound a little bit like pre-Reformation thinking. The priest tells you what's in the Bible, and because you can't read it for yourself, you just kind of go, well, okay. And as a matter of fact, for a lot of Muslims around the world, because they don't read Arabic, they just go with what the imam told them. But have you read it for yourself? Have you studied it for yourself? What if we don't get raptured out? What if you actually, if the timing is a part of your life, your natural born life, what if you're actually a part of the tribulation? So today we're going to be talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner, who's a biblical scholar, and this is going to be great conversation, an in-depth conversation, although not super in-depth because we only have so much time. But if you really want to go down this road, because Dr. Kirshner is the founder of Eschatos Ministries, which is teaches Bible prophecy from a futurist, premillennial, pre-wrath perspective. He's the author of Antichrist, Before the Day of the Lord, What Every Christian Needs to Know About the Return of Christ, and the editor-in-chief of Biblical Prophecy Magazine, is also the host of the popular podcast, The Biblical Prophecy Program, PhD in New Testament, MA in Biblical Languages, BA in Philosophy. And by the way, he's going to be here in Raleigh, North Carolina, coming up really soon, Saturday, October 23rd, starting at 9 a.m., four sessions, ending at about 3 p.m., the basics of the pre-wrath rapture at North Raleigh Christian Academy here in North Raleigh, in the Raleigh area. That's on Saturday, October 23rd, coming up just like a week from Saturday, NRCA, beautiful school, beautiful facility. And actually, I've got 8 tickets today I want to give away. They're only $25 per person if you get them. So you can get that by going to Alan's website, which is alankirshner.com. I'll put the links up on Facebook Live today. Alan, A-L-A-N Kirshner, K-U-R-S-C-H-N-E-R, alankirshner.com. And you'll see that. I'll put the links up so you can grab the tickets for yourself. But I am going to give away 8 tickets today, 2 per caller, okay? So just be ready for that when the time comes. But this is going to be a fascinating conversation on a really important topic. Or is it? I don't know if we should be dining on this hill, but a lot of people do. Dr. Kirshner, Alan, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you, Steve, very much for having me on the program.
It's my pleasure, and a good shout out to our buddy Bruce Battle, who was telling me about it and introduced me to you. So thank you for your patience. It's been a long time coming to get you on the show, but I'm excited to have you on here. And again, thank you for your patience. So tell us just a little bit about your faith journey, Alan, and then specifically, how did you get into Bible prophecy to the point that this really becomes your calling?
Well, I grew up in a Christian family, quite conservative Christian family, and I don't believe I was a Christian. I just went through the emotions, and it was a few years after high school, kind of my wandering years, where the I just had this deep hole in my soul, in my heart, and on the what am I here for? What's the meaning of life? And it just drew me back to Scripture, and the Lord put the doctrine of the second coming before me because I was confronted with the truth that, well, look, if there's an end game. Jesus is returning, and the Holy Spirit used that to bring me to my knees before the Lord, and that one day I will be judged. And when Christ returns, I want him to be my redeemer and not my wrathful judge. And so, to make a long story short, eschatology or end time studies, God used that to bring me to his son. And so this isn't, I eventually started Eschatos Ministry, so it hasn't been a mere academic exercise for me, because I truly believe that this should be part and parcel of the gospel proclamation. It was for Paul in Acts chapter 17 in Athens. He proclaimed the second coming of Christ and repent to pagans. So we shouldn't be afraid to proclaim this as the gospel. I know for many in the church today, we may kind of shy away from telling unbelievers that, hey, Jesus is coming back. We may focus on the first coming of Christ, which is great. Of course, that's necessary,
sure,
obviously. But part of the gospel is that he's coming back and the second coming. And so we need to confidently believe that the Spirit of God continues to use this truth to bring his people to himself. And to sanctify, that's another aspect, is to sanctify those who are already believers to get ready for his return, because very difficult times are coming for the Church of God.
Yeah, and so I would imagine this was, because a lot of times, and you probably heard me in the opening, I think for a lot of us, Alan, we're talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner, I think a lot of us just kind of came to the conclusion about the rapture and the tribulation and the great tribulation, because that's what we were taught in church. I think there's actually very few Christians that have actually poured a lot of time into it. Our mutual friend Bruce certainly has. But I think for a lot of us, that's just kind of the story that we've heard, and that's what we've gone with. So what kind of brought you to the point where you're, because obviously you're taking a position that a lot of current evangelicals don't take. Well, how did you kind of get there? And I know we're going to unpack this and we don't have all the time in the world today, but for you, was it a shocking thing? Were you kind of in one camp like most of us and then moved over to the other? Or what was that process like a little bit?
So, yes, I grew up in a conservative, more of a fundamentalist background. And I was taught, of course, as many, that the pre-tribulational view that we're going to be raptured out of here, this is going to be an imminent return. We're going to be raptured out of here before Jesus returns. And I did a fresh analysis of
yeah,
when I came up.
Well, hold that thought, Alan. I'm up against the break.
Bet.
Hold that thought.
Sure.
I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels sent from above. You make.
Welcome back, Steve Noble. A sacred cow, perhaps. That when the tribulation comes, you're out of here, man. Don't worry about it. That's not going to be your problem. Jesus is going to rapture the church out of here. The Holy Spirit, we pull the whole thing out. We sail, we go back to be with the Lord, and that's the deal. And then kind of pretty much all hell breaks loose here on earth. And then ultimately there's the final judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's kind of a normal position for most Christians. But does the Bible actually back that up? Can you go to chapter and verse? Can you pull it all together? Old Testament, New Testament. You can talk about Joel's Before the Day of the Lord. You can talk about Jesus. This is Olivet Discourse. You can talk about Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, or you can talk about John's book of Revelation, all of which, by the way, Dr. Alan Kirshner is going to be doing here in Raleigh on Saturday, October 23rd at North Raleigh Christian Academy, which is a beautiful location on the north side of Raleigh. And so that's that day, Saturday, October 23rd, North Carolina Bible Prophecy Seminar, the basics of the pre-wrath rapture. And Alan's going to be walking you through all that that day as we look at these various parts of Scripture. What does the Bible actually say? And that's what we should be asking about all these subjects, is what does the Bible actually teach versus not just what you've been taught or what you've heard, but what does the Bible actually say? And so that can be a challenge for a lot of us. And this is a touchy subject for a lot of people, but don't lose your minds. We all need to be willing to work through these things and be challenged by what the scriptural record actually tells us. So that's what we're doing today. And Alan, again, thank you so much for your time and being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on, Steve.
So growing up kind of in a conservative evangelical environment, coming to your position on, which I know you're going to make the case is purely the biblical position, but was that kind of a tough journey for you? Because obviously it cuts against the grain at this point.
Yes and no. I mean, after you know, growing up more conservative, you know, I was taught the pre-tribulational view. And it was, you know, and again, but don't get me wrong, I think the my view, the pre-rapture view, is a conservative interpretation as well of the
right.
Of this issue. But it was a few years after high school, after my wandering years, where, when I went back to Scripture, and it was like a fresh analysis. Like with you know, I just studied this issue anew, and I realized I noticed something that, you know, that contradicted what I was taught growing up. I noticed consistently that Jesus, Paul, the Book of Revelation taught that that the church would be here for the Antichrist persecution. In other words, in pre-tribulational theology, it taught that we're going to be raptured before the day of the Lord's wrath, and pre-wrath also teaches that. But the way they understood, they confused the Antichrist persecution, his great tribulation, with the day of the Lord's wrath. And so what I found in these major prophetic passages was that, no, that the Antichrist Great Tribulation comes first, persecutes the church and Israel, and then we don't know the day of the hour, Jesus says. Those days of tribulation, they're going to be cut short with the return of Christ to rapture God's people and then pour out his wrath. So these are two very different events, the Antichrist Great Tribulation and the day of the Lord's wrath, and I'm convinced that if the student of prophecy does not understand that distinction, they're going to get a lot of things wrong with biblical prophecy.
And what about church history? Because, you know, we're all stuck in the context of the 21st century, so we don't really know a whole lot about what's happened in the previous 1900 years. But what's church history been like? Has there ever been a consensus on this?
Well, first of all, not all the early church fathers have written on this topic. But I have an appendix in my book, Antichrist Before the Day of the Lord, in which I argue that those early church fathers who actually wrote about the relationship between the coming of Christ and the Antichrist, every single one who actually wrote on this topic, without exception, they believed that the church would encounter the Antichrist. And I can just name a few for, and I'm talking about those up to the mid-third century. So you have the Epistle of Barnabas, Shepherd of Hermas, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Hippolytus, and then you have Cyprian, all of them. And I have the actual quotes, not little snippets, but I have, you know, the context there in my book showing that all of them consistently believed that the church would the church would first encounter the Antichrist before Jesus returns and delivers God's people, including, I actually left out one of the most important ones, the Didache. The Didache is the very first Christian document that we have outside of the New Testament, the earliest Christian document, and it consistently, in chapter 16 of the Didache, and you can access this on the internet as well, explicitly shows that the church is going to encounter the Antichrist. In fact, he gets the author of the Didache draws from Jesus' Olivet Discourse. So, but very, very consistent teaching, and that's all the pre-wrath teaches, is that, look, you know, this is not something, you know, we're not trying to find one little verse in Scripture and trying to filter everything through it. It's a consistent message that the last generation of the church is going to have its worst persecution, but those days are going to be cut short for the sake of the elect, with the return of Christ, to rapture, resurrection, resurrect the dead, and then pour out his wrath. That's really the simple message of the pre-wrath view.
So when did the current position held by most would you agree that most evangelicals today are like, okay, we get raptured out, then the tribulation comes?
I would say, yeah, especially in America. I mean, pre-tribulationism is more of a British and American phenomenon. If it is found in other parts of the world, it's only because it's been exported by pre-tribulational missionaries in the last 100 years.
So what gave rise to that position being kind of the common denominator for a lot of evangelicals, I mean, especially today?
I think you can trace it back to John Nelson Darby's teaching in the early 1800s, and he had a particular view of the relationship between Israel and the church, and it was a very sharp, absolute distinction, I believe, you know, in the future restoration of Israel, and I believe the church and Israel are different. But he went so far as to actually argue that, that God, you know, doesn't work with both of them at the same time. And so one of the major inferences from his defective, in my view, his defective or errant eschatology, or not so much eschatology, ecclesiology, you know, understanding the relationship between the church and Israel, one of those inferences was that, well, then I guess the church has to be raptured before God resumes this future Daniel's prophecy of the seven-year period in the future, the seventh week of Daniel. And so that's really what gave birth to this notion of a pre-tribulational rapture, the idea that we can't be on earth when Daniel's prophecy, the last part of it, resumes. And that's just, in my view, that's fallacious.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things on the fleshly side of it is, you know, we're not supposed to be given a spirit of fear, and we haven't been given one. But I think a lot of people, when they study or hear about and read about the Great Tribulation and all the different things, and you get into the book of Revelation and you look at all the different judgments, and people go, man, I do not want to be here for that. And so the rapture of the church, so to speak, prior to that happening is comforting for a lot of people, because you're like, man, I just don't want to be a part of that. And so I think, unfortunately, we tend to lean towards something that makes life perhaps a little easier for us than more difficult. So we're up against a break. Alan, I'm going to put you on hold again. We're talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner. He's going to be here in Raleigh. So we're going to touch on things. So if this frustrates you and you're like, wait a minute, then just, you can solve that. Just come join Dr. Kirshner on Saturday, October 23rd. He'll be here in Raleigh. That's going to start at 9 a.m. It's going to be over at about 3 p.m. We're going to talk about the context of that conference, and we'll go into a lot more detail because you can't handle it all in one show as hard as we try. We'll be right back. Well, there you go. A little Johnny Cash.
Going round.
Eschatology, Johnny Cash style. A fascinating subject, and something that the book of Revelation makes it perfectly clear. I mean, we are encouraged to study that book, but when you're going to deal with eschatology, you're going to deal with end times, you're going to talk about, quote unquote, the rapture of the church, you're going to talk about the great and terrible day of the Lord, you're going to talk about the wrath of God being poured out, then there's other places you go. You don't just go to the book of Revelation. So there's a lot of other places to go to try to understand what's going on. And is it profitable? Do you have to have it all figured out? What if you have it wrong? You know, fortunately, praise the Lord, in the end, we know the ultimate culmination of everything. Whether I'm in or out, it's before, it's in the middle, or it's after. Those things, like for me personally as a believer, that's where my faith kicks in. And I'm like, I don't understand everything, but I understand enough. And my house is built on the rock of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that ultimately all the dirty details and the troubling times and the tribulation and the great tribulation and the wrath of God and all that stuff, I'm like, well, my house is built on the rock ultimately. So that gives me great comfort. When it comes to discussing these things, because these can be disruptive and disturbing and flat out scary. But if your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, then that should not be the case for you. But we need to study it because we were told to study it, and that's why we're happy to have Dr. Alan Kirshner here, a PhD, and this is his wheelhouse. This is where he's at, the basics of the pre-wrath rapture. He'll be here in Raleigh on Saturday, October 23rd, starting at 9 a.m., ending about 3 p.m. And that day, you're kind of going down four different roads to kind of build this together. Because, and again, Alan, thanks for your time today. But I think a lot of people just, they'll go to one passage here, they'll go to one passage there, or they'll look at Daniel, or they'll go to crack open the book of Revelation, but we really have to kind of take a tour around scripture to study this accurately. Isn't that correct?
Yes. We should be looking for consistency. We should be comparing scripture with scripture. One of the themes when you compare the major biblical passages is the theme of the celestial disturbances. And we particularly see that in Joel. Joel gives us a very important piece of information, I think, to begin with. He talks about Joel 2:30 says, "I will produce portents both in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke." In verse 31, the sunlight will be turned to darkness and the moon to the color of blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and terrible day. So that's a very important signal, because he doesn't say the day of the Lord, you know, or the celestial disturbances is going to happen during the day of the Lord or after the day of the Lord, but before. In other words, it functions to signal to God's people the coming deliverance and the wrath of God And Jesus, in his Olive Discourse, he actually draws from Joel 2:30-31. And where does he place that in his Olive Discourse, in the narrative? He places it after the Great Tribulation. In Matthew 24, beginning of verse 15 up to verse 29, he talks about the Great Tribulation, and then he cites this event, the celestial disturbances, the Shekinah glory, the sign of the coming, and then the deliverance of the elect, and then the wrath of God. And interestingly, Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or actually 5, he doesn't actually cite Joel's passage here, but we know that he cites the celestial disturbance version of it from Isaiah 13, talking about before the day of the Lord. In other words, Paul, in his rapture passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he explains that the dead in Christ will rise first, will be caught up, the alive will be caught up with the dead to meet Jesus in the clouds, and then Paul gets into his, day of the Lord teaching. And he follows up, by the way, in his second epistle, explaining that two events have to happen before Jesus returns. He talks about the apostasy and the revelation of the man of lawlessness, that is, a.k.a. the Antichrist. In other words, he's telling his Thessalonians they thought they were in the day of the Lord because they were experiencing persecution. He says, no, the day of the Lord, it hasn't arrived. We know it hasn't arrived because something has to happen before the day of the Lord, and that's the revelation of the Antichrist. In other words, you will see this revelation of the Antichrist emerge before the day of the Lord occurs. And then you see that celestial disturbance event in the sixth seal in the book of Revelation. The sixth seal, it comes immediately after, interestingly, the fifth seal, talking about that the martyrs, Christian martyrs, they have died for the testimony of Jesus. And I always try to press my pre-tribulational brothers and sisters on this, because if they say that the seals are God's wrath, and Paul says we're not appointed to the wrath of God, then you can't say that the fifth seal is God's wrath, because if you look at the fifth seal in Revelation 6, it's talking about martyrs who have died. So in other words, and the divine answer they're given to them is, wait a little bit longer. It's coming. God's wrath is coming, it actually says. And they're given robes as sort of a down payment of, look, your resurrection is coming soon. And in the pre-wrath framework, it's only, so you have the six seals, and then just before the seventh seal is open, where the scroll is open then, two groups of people are being delivered. It says that there's this innumerable multitude who just came out of the Great Tribulation. They were on earth, now they're in heaven, and then you have this 144,000 Israelites who are, they're sealed for protection. Why are two groups of people being delivered or sealed for protection at that moment? Well, because when the seventh seal is opened in Revelation 8, God's wrath begins with the trumpet judgment. So it's the trumpet and the bowl judgment that's God's wrath, not the seals. The seals are only conditions that lead to God's wrath.
So if we're going to kind of draw out a timeline, because I think for a lot of people they can get confused pretty easily going, what comes when and what's the order of things? Because a lot of people are like, Jesus could return at any moment, and you're actually turning around because you're not an imminence person. You're saying, no, actually, a couple things have to happen before Jesus comes back. So he can't return at any moment, because right now we don't know who the Antichrist is, and we haven't gotten into these celestial disturbances. So he can't come back. Is that basically the point there?
Right. And so a lot of people will cite Matthew 24:36 for imminence. They'll say, it says, but as for that day and hour, no one knows it, not even the angels of heaven except the Father alone. But that's coming after the Great Tribulation. Because immediately before it says that you can know the season. You'll know the season of his return, but you're not going to know the exact day or hour. And this comes after the heels of the Great Tribulation. In verse 29, it says, immediately after the Great Tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon, and so forth. And then you have the coming of the Lord. So you have, again, Matthew 24, very clear-cut sequence. The Great Tribulation happens. Those days are going to be cut short. You have the celestial disturbances and the coming, the glorious coming of Christ on the clouds. And like I said, Jesus says, So you're going to know the season, but you're not going to know the exact day or hour that it occurs.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we have to wrestle with. And again, I think largely here we're talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner, North Carolina Bible Prophecy Seminar. So if you're like, oh, okay, wait a minute, wait, I got your hands up and you're like yelling at the TV or you're yelling at your computer or you're yelling at the radio, that's where you need to come and spend the day with Alan, which is happening here in Raleigh, North Carolina on Saturday, October 23rd. That's 9 a.m. to about 3 p.m. By the way, I want to give away 8 tickets, so I'm going to give away 4 pairs of tickets, okay? So don't call in and say, I'll take 6. I'm only going to give you 2. But if you call in, we're going to give away 8 tickets. Okay, so that's 4 sets of 2. Or you can come by yourself if you only need one. That just didn't just mention that. So call in because I want to give those away before we run out of time on the show today. 866-348-7884 is the number as always. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. First callers to claim those 8 tickets and 2 per person. Okay. So, again, just call in. All we need is your name, your phone number, your email address, and we'll take care of that for you. But that's coming up on Saturday, October 23rd from 9 a.m. to about 3 p.m. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884, giving away 8 tickets, so 4 sets of 2. Or if you just need a single, just make sure you tell Grayson that when you call in. The lines are all lighting up. So be patient, and we'll get those given out, and that's coming up on Saturday, October 23rd. So I think a lot of people, Alan, what's been your experience? Because I know you do these Bible prophecies seminars, and when people come out, are they usually coming out going, okay, I'm going to come prove this guy wrong, or, you know, yeah, I'm willing to go down this road. What's generally the reception? And when we come back in the last segment on the other side of the break, we'll talk about what's going to happen that day. But what's been the general reception to this as you've unpacked this for people?
Oh, I think it's very positive. In fact, you know, I kind of have a bead on this. I've been doing this for so long. Arguably, the pre-wrath view is the fastest growing view on this topic, I think, today. Zondervan recently put out a book on revised their famous three views book that was tradition pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. But now they've jettisoned the mid-trib view. The pre-wrath is not mid-trib, but they've included the pre-wrath view now in their most recent edition. I think people are realizing, wait a minute, are we really going to be out of here before the difficult time's coming? And I think they're reevaluating what Scripture actually teaches, and they're realizing, no, very difficult times are coming for the church. We're exempt from God's wrath. We're not going to experience God's eschatological wrath, but we are going to experience persecution coming as a church as a whole.
Got it. We're going to put you on hold. Talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner about Bible prophecy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner, Eschatos Ministries. And you can look at that, the website, alankirshner.com. That's A-L-A-N. Kirshner is K-U-R-S-C-H-N-E-R, alankirshner.com. I've got those links up today on Facebook Live. So if you're like, hey, I can't write that down, I'm never going to remember that, just go to the Steve Noble Show on page on Facebook, and you can grab all this stuff. Okay, so I got all the links there, which takes you to Alan's website, as well as where you can get the tickets. Tickets are just $25. It's coming up on Saturday, October 23rd, here in Raleigh, North Raleigh Christian Academy, which is a beautiful facility. It's going to be there in their Fine Arts Center, 9 a.m. to about 3 p.m., 4 sessions. Joel's Before the Day of the Lord, which Alan was touching on earlier. Jesus' Olivet Discourse is session 2, then lunch. Session 3, Paul's Thessalonians Letters. Because they're like, well, it says at Thessalonians. Okay, we're going to go. You'll go through that. And then finally, the last session at 2 p.m., John's Book of Revelation. And so there's a lot there, and people can come check it out. It's great to have Alan. I appreciate you being on the show today and your time. Can people ask questions? Is there much time for interaction at a Bible prophecy conference like this?
Yeah, so I'm not going to have a separate session for Q&A. What I do is to really focus on the questions is I leave about 10 minutes for each session where people can ask questions about what I just talked about for that hour. So there'll be 4 of those Q&A sessions at the end of each session. And, of course, they can come up to me afterwards and in between sessions as well and ask me Q&A.
Yeah, that's excellent. And so when people talk about, and I just want to touch one more time on pre-trib rapture. So this is where most of us are. Most people in the church today are like, okay, there's this terrible time of tribulation coming, and that's split in half, and 3.5 years, then you get to the great tribulation. But never fear, don't worry about it, because we're all going to be raptured out of here in the twinkle of an eye, and then you're raptured, you're gone, so you miss it all. But when people take that position that the Bible is teaching that, how much actual scripture do they have to stand on? Like, what's their case, Alan?
What I found is it's namely two fundamental arguments. One is that the church and Israel are distinct. The Daniel's prophecy was made to Israel, and therefore the church can't exist on earth during that time. And that's really a bad argument because, we talked about Jeremiah's new covenant. Well, that was made to Israel, but it was also, applied to the church. It was the churches here on earth. And there's a number of other prophecies. Joel's prophecy, we know from, was Peter made it very clear that Joel's prophecy began to be fulfilled at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So Old Testament prophecies, while Israel is distinct, the church can be on earth at this time. So when Daniel's prophecy was made in Daniel chapter 9 for Israel, that doesn't exclude that the church can't exist at that time. So typically that's more of an inferential argument. It's not really an explicit argument for pre-tribulationism. So that's one of their main arguments, I think, for their view.
Yeah, and then, of course, in the New Testament, when we get to the point where, like, okay, the church is going to be out of here, we're caught up in the air, we translate that and say that's the rapture. Do you find that a lot of people, and even pastors and really entire denominations as well, Alan, just kind of rest their entire case on that particular passage of Scripture?
You're talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is that the Greek term in that passage where it talks, those who are alive, at that time, or live up to that time, it's interesting that the Greek term is only used two times in the entire New Testament, and it means a severe persecution. In other words, it means a survival from where other people have died. And we know that Paul is drawing from Jesus' olive discourse. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because people will say, well, you know, Paul doesn't talk about the tribulation before the rapture. Well, actually, he does. When he uses that term, he says that those who survive, who are alive, and survive up to the parousia, that is the second coming, they will be caught up to be with the Lord. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord, but the question is, when does that happen? And Paul, Jesus, and the book of Revelation consistently teach that it's going to happen after a period of severe persecution for the church.
And so why, ultimately, Alan, we're talking to Dr. Alan Kirshner from Eschatos Ministries. He'll be here in Raleigh on Saturday, October 23rd. We easily gave away all the tickets, there's still plenty of tickets left. So if you want to go, it's just $25 for the day, four sessions. But why should we consider this? Why should we spend time on this? Like, ultimately, for a 21st century Christian, why does it matter? Why should we consider these things and try to get it right?
Well, because we're obeying our Lord when he says in Matthew 24:25, he says, remember, I have told you ahead of time. Jesus didn't just simply say, remember, I told you this, but he actually goes on. He says, remember, I have told you ahead of time. Because, in other words, Jesus is teaching, and you can see it through his parables, that, look, if you think that my Lord's coming is far off, well, you're going to be caught off guard. Because he's saying,
no, I don't know. He might be on hold. He was calling from, he's up in Michigan somewhere, I think. So I'm just trying to make sure we got him. Hello, I'm just checking. Hold on. Let me jump back. Hey, Alan, are you still there? I think we lost him for a second. Are you there, Alan? Okay, they're going to try him. Hold on. Sorry, everybody. So it might have a shaky line there. And so they're checking on that, okay, to make sure he's still good and that we can get him back on. They're talking to him right now, make sure everything's fine on the connection. But again, a lot of this is, and again, with the book of Revelation, we're commanded and told that, hey, if you study this, there's going to be a blessing here. You need to study this so that we can look forward, but we look forward accurately. And because we need to be prepared. Because think about this. Is this going to change for you? If you think about your life as a Christian, is it going to change for you? If you're like, yeah, actually, maybe this isn't, maybe I'm not going to escape this. And if I'm not going to escape it, then how do I respond? What do I do? We're going to try to get reconnected with Alan. We lost his connection there for a minute. But this is obviously somebody, and I appreciate Alan. And again, cards on the table. This has never been something that I've spent a ton of time on myself. That's kind of where, for me, the gift of faith comes in. And I'm like, listen, it's interesting to study these things, but I'm not afraid of going through the tribulation. I'm sure I would be once it gets here if that happens in our lifetime. But ultimately, you got to trust the Lord, right? So you got to go, okay, I want to serve in whatever capacity that is. And looking for an easy way out, which I'm not saying that's what all of us do, but some of us certainly do, is not part of the Christian life. You know, we're guaranteed trouble. And to be a part of what God is doing on the earth is an important thing. Let's jump back in here. Hold on. Hey, Alan, are you there?
Hi, Steve. What was the last thing before somehow we got disconnected?
I don't know. I'm 55 years old. Do you think I'm going to remember what I was saying 2.5 minutes ago? Well, no, I think
I'm not
I was trying.
Far behind. I'll be 52 next month, though.
All right. Yeah. So you probably struggle with some of those things, too. I mean, really, I was just looking for an encouragement to people because we obviously want them to come out on Saturday, October 23rd, to go through these four sessions with you. But I think the question is, how's it going to affect my life? If all of a sudden the Bible is, for me, I come to the realization that I very well, if I'm still alive, I could be a part of the tribulation and what's going on. How should this affect us? How should this change our daily walk with the Lord, like here and now?
Well, I think that it's Jesus' purpose for us to, and often this sounds like a cliche, but it's still important that we live in light of Jesus' coming because we don't know. I don't believe that he can return at any moment, but I do believe that he can return at in any generation. Yeah. And in Matthew 24, I think Jesus' main point is, look, don't think I can come at any generation of the church can experience these events. And those who are saying, well, my master is long away, he's not coming back for a long time. Sound familiar, right? The five foolish virgins and
sure.
and the master parable as well. No, Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to have that attitude, then when he comes, he's going to come suddenly, and you're going to be unprepared. And so we need to be spiritually prepared, and part of that is understanding what Jesus taught, that when these events happen, we're not fretting about. We're going to be at peace. We have to be at peace during the Great Tribulation because we need to edify God's people around us. And if we've been told that, well, we're going to be raptured out of here before the Antichrist emerges, and then when we actually witness the Antichrist emerge, well, many are going to be caught off guard, and they're going to be very vulnerable for the deception that's going to be happening during that time.
Yeah, which is a very sobering thought. So, again, just one last time, Alan, just invite people out, encourage them to come be a part of it. It's Saturday, October 23rd here in Raleigh at North Raleigh Christian Academy, which is a beautiful facility. Tickets are just $25 for registration. AlanKirshner.com. I've got the website links up on Facebook Live today, and I'll just post them throughout the next 10 days. But just one final invitation to everybody listening, Alan, to come out and join you that day.
Yes. Thank you. Come out. You can only say something in about four sessions. We're going to have some resources, though, there for sales and books, and so you can do some further studying on this very important topic. And again, this is not a what I call a spectator. You know, this is a participant conference in the sense that you could very well experience these events that we're talking about. We're not talking about how many angels can dance on the head of a needle.
Yeah. What a great point. Alan, thank you so much for calling in. I look forward to meeting you when you're here in town. Thank you for all the time and the work that you put into this. And thanks for sharing and helping us to understand it today. It's really been great having you on.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll see you soon. That was Dr. Alan Kirshner, who's got quite the resume. Okay, this isn't some guy going to church that just decided to start studying eschatology one day. PhD in New Testament, MA in Biblical Language, BA in Philosophy, and has obviously got a passion for this and handles the Word of God quite well. But maybe you disagree. Well, then come on out and join in that day and come be challenged and learn and consider what the Word has to say for all of us as followers of Jesus Christ. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.